seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's Epistle of the Ephesians, chapter 3, and verses 20 and 21. Paul's Epistle of the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The third chapter of Paul's Epistle of the Ephesians and verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is the close of the prayer that the apostle so offered for those Ephesians, especially the Gentiles among them. And what a wonderful thing it is to have such prayers left on record for the help and the encouragement of God's dear children. How many times have we had to utter some of those prayers that are wonderfully recorded in the Word of God? Of course, there are those very familiar prayers, but may they not be just vain repetition. Like where the dying thief said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And like the publican when he said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And too, with the dear woman when she prayed, Lord, help me. But oh, the vital thing is the reality of real prayer. And the Holy Spirit has made it so clear throughout God's holy word that that prayer that is of the Holy Spirit indicted in the heart of the child of God, the Lord will hear and will answer. The hymn writer said, didn't he? True prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And some of the old preachers used to say that the proof of our prayers being real is by the answer. And if ever there was a praying man that walked this earth, the Apostle Paul was. You can go back to the Damascus Road, and what did the Lord say to Ananias? When Ananias said, Lord, I've heard much of this man, how he persecuted the church of God and cast this one and that one into prison. But what did the Lord say to him? Behold, he prayeth. You see, the Lord knows in your heart and in mine how real the prayer is, whether it's just words or praying to suit ourselves or suit our situation. But with the apostle, you see, I was thinking about how wonderfully the Lord brought him to fear the Lord and to seek him and to serve him, and how the Lord was to use him in the ministry. Not just in the preaching of the word, but too in the epistles that he wrote to the churches. But that's not all. It seemed to rest upon one's heart how he prayed for those churches and how he prayed for individual characters in them, and how the Lord heard and answered those prayers. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have such a praying servant of God. And we think of it today, you know, and you think of those that have gone into glory. One thing we miss so in them being taken is their prayers are ended. We read, don't we, in the Psalms concerning David, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Those prayers may be ended, but the answer may be yet to come in God's time, because those prayers, you see, they offered under the blessed instruction of heaven will be answered in God's time and in his way. But it's a great value, you see, to the Church of God to have such characters. We think of many in our early days in the ministry. Many godly women, you know, they used to pray us along. One dear soul said to me once, she said, you know, I often think and try and pray for you when you go forth on the Lord's day and throughout the day. And she said, I pray till you get back home at night. And that's a wonderful thing. You know. Well, I don't know why I named that, but may we lay it to heart that the Lord would raise up in this dark day. What are we told in the Word of God? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And of course, who was the Holy Spirit speaking of? Dear Elijah. And you look how many times he wrestled with the God of heaven, and the Lord heard and answered his prayer. Of course, it was so notable on the Mount Carmel, wasn't it? When he begged the Lord to send fire from heaven to prove who was the living God in Israel. And the Lord heard him and answered him. What did he say? Let it be known this day that thou art God, and that I am thy servant. And the Lord heard and answered his petition. Well, much could be said on that, but this was the close in this chapter of the dear apostle's prayer for them. And what a wonderful close it was, wasn't it? Just one or two things I would name. First of all, he says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. You see, the dear apostle was in prison. But the word of God was not bound. The bondage was with the dear apostle. And his desire for them, that ye faint not. Now, there are those of you this morning that have things to make you faint. Maybe in your heart, maybe in your pathway, maybe in the family. We're often fainting, aren't we? Dear Mr. Frank Gosden used to say, if we're honest, we faint more than we pray. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. But you see, when these tribulations come, and it was a great tribulation to those well-exercised souls to see the Lord's servant in prison. There's no doubt many fainted. I don't mean outwardly or literally, but they may have done. But I mean in their hearts. Because of the onslaughts of Satan. So he prays for them in that fainting condition. And he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then he says this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And how wonderful it is when the Lord strengthens us in the inner man. You know, when the Lord spoke that word to the Apostle Paul that I often quote, but it's so real, my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that was spoken in his inner man. The new man of grace. To strengthen him in faith, in love, and in knowledge, and in wisdom. And then he goes further and he speaks of a deep and profound thing. And may we be favoured to know more and more of it as we venture on in the journey. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, what a mercy it is. He does dwell in the hearts of his dear people by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. What a blessed subject it was he was setting before them, wasn't it? Rooted and grounded in love. Love to the Lord. Love to the Trinity. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And that love which Christ so manifested at Calvary. Greater love, Jesus said, hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And then he declared who his friends were. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Look in your heart, look in mine. Are we doing what he has commanded us? All the commandments Moses said to the children of Israel, which I command thee this day, thou should observe to do. Many look at commandments like in God's word and they say, oh well, we'll try and keep them if we can. The heart that is really under God's grace will ever want to keep those commandments which he commands them. And we think here of our dear apostle. You see, because he kept the commandment of God, it put him in prison. He kept the commandment of God in declaring the whole counsel of God. He held nothing back. He preached the exceeding sinfulness of sin to sinners. And he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ to those poor, dejected sinners. He kept nothing back. He was faithful throughout. And it brought him into prison. In his love to the Lord, he stood by those commandments and was faithful in all things. Oh, he was. And he declares this love, you see. And his desire was that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, look in your heart and mine this morning. Do we desire that he might dwell in our hearts? And I'll tell you what you'll feel, if I know anything of it in any measure. If he dwells in you, you'll feel so unworthy that he should dwell in your poor heart. It's like the hymn writer said, didn't he? Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing divine. Being rooted. Well, really, this is vital. You see, with a plant that may look dead. I was looking at our lawn the other day, and with all the heat and that, there are places where it looks dead. But with that rain the other day, yesterday morning, how immediately it begins to grow and look green. Why? Because there's life in the root. The top may look dead. But what root have we got? And the vital thing is, you know, is to be rooted, we read on another occasion, rooted and grounded in Christ. Being rooted and grounded in love. And when he says in love, that means in Christ. Have you got a religion that's rooted and grounded, and have I that's in Christ? Because if it is, poor soul, we should know what real love is. Love to the Lord, love to his ways, love to his precepts, love to his word. You know, the Pharisees profess that they love the Lord. But all their love was in their own mind. It was never rooted and grounded in Christ. You know, many think just because they're strict Baptists or any other denomination, that will get them to heaven. It never will. And they're rooted and grounded in just a denominational label, which is a exceedingly solemn position to be in. You see, the vital thing is, are we rooted and grounded in love? This is what made Ruth's religion so real. Her religion was rooted and grounded in the Lord from beginning to end. And it was so manifested in her life. So she could walk humbly with Naomi, who was a beautiful type of the Church of God. Her love to Naomi was past all natural love. It was love in Christ. They both loved the same blessed person, the dear Redeemer. Love the Lord with mind and heart. His people and his ways. Well, much could be said on each of these verses, but he goes further. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the length, and depth and height. You know, you can never measure. It's impossible. The love of God to sinners. You can never mention measure the length of it, the breadth of it, the height of it, the depth of it. It's past all natural comprehension. And the apostle was so clear in that. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. And what a blessing, you know, to draw from that fullness, as I said in prayer. And who's it that wants to draw from it? Well, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, didn't he? Hear about it, and he writes to the church in Colossae. And he says to them in that first chapter, it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And when the sinner is brought to feel their emptiness, their poverty, and they've got nothing themselves, they can draw from that fullness, knowing this, that it had never run dry. Oh no. In the old days where they used to have the well and go and draw the water from it, there were, you know, in extreme circumstances, the well would run dry. But, you see, this fullness will never run dry. Oh no. So he says, and then I must hasten, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, may the Holy Spirit help me to look a little into this. This first word, now, seemed to stand out considerably to me when the text dropped in. You see, this was the time had come where he got to, in this third chapter, cease his speaking to them. Now, there will come the time when the Lord will say to you and say to me, now you've got to leave this earth, and we will have no say in it. God's appointed time. And we know not, any of us, how soon that now will be. But are we ready for it? This night is thy soul required of thee. You know, much of late, when I've closed my eyes to go to sleep, I've thought much, you know. There have come the time where we will close our eyes and never wake. And then it'll be eternity, which will have no end. It's like a circle, it has no end. Are we ready for that now? The hymn writer said, pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? They are vital questions. May we lay them to heart, how we would answer. Well, with the apostle, you see, it comes to the time where it is now, he had got to cease that part of his prayer for them. It's like with the close of each service, there's the now, the close. And so there will be of our lives. So he says, now, we think, as to enlarge on it a little, of the apostle when he left the church at Ephesus. In Acts 20, what do we read? You see, he laboured among them faithfully for 3 years. Declared the whole counsel of God, held nothing back. He says, I am free from the blood of all men. We live in a day where not many want to hear a faithful ministry. They'll swallow anything. But the apostle, he leaves the church at Ephesus, and the time had come, you see, for him to go up to Rome, and he exhorts them this. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Look how earnest he was in his ministry to them, and it cost him many tears. Nobody knows the tears that many of the Lord's servants have to weep. I mean not just literally, but outwardly, but in their heart. And then he says this, and now, brethren, the time had come, you see, for him to go up to Rome. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. It's a beautiful word, really, isn't it? I commend you to God. And here in this chapter, what he was doing was commending them again to God. And I would lovingly say this morning, this is what we desire for you, to commend you to God. For no better hands could you be in, or I. He says, now unto him that is able. So in commending them to God, He was commending them to one who was able to do for them. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. No better place could he commend them, could he? What are you asking for? What are you thinking? What am I? Well, the Lord knows. You know, we come into the house of God, we have our thoughts. Nobody in the chapel may know what they are at all. But the Lord does. And he knows every thought we think from the moment we rise in the morning till we sleep at night. And he knows the thoughts during the night season. Oh, he does. And everything is open before him we have to do. It is all known to the Lord. Nothing is hid from him. He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You may have wondered why we read together that chapter in the book of Kings, but in thinking upon this text, immediately the Lord seemed to lead me, thinking of what it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You think of those things you're asking for, and he's able to do far above that. And we need faith to believe that, don't we? Well, the apostle did. Some of you young ones may be asking things like Solomon did. What do we read? And this is why we read the chapter together. It seemed to come to me how he was given by the Lord what to ask for. The Lord said to him, ask what I shall give thee. What would you ask for? What would I ask for? He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for honour. He could have asked for all the pleasures of this earth. But he didn't, did he? He asked for something that was vital. And something that was going to be of gracious blessing to him. And what did he ask for? Understanding. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have an understanding of things. Looking at it naturally, you know, every subject a young person may take, they want to understand it all. And he asked for this understanding. But what did the Lord give him? Far more than ever, exceeding abundantly above what he asked, didn't he? And look at the wisdom the Lord gave him. There's a good prayer in the hymn, give wisdom to direct our way and strength to do thy will. And what did God say to him? You see, and we need to lay this to heart. Well, I preach this to myself, I'll leave the other with you, but he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And what do we read? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. It pleased the Lord. And you know, if we really pray and plead for those things that are pleasing to the Lord, he will grant to us far above what we've asked or even think. Oh yes, he did to Solomon. And what did the Lord go on to say to him? And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life. That's what the natural man would do, wouldn't he? Lord, give me a long life. You hear it in the world every day. They want to dwell here forever. Why? Because this is their home. With the child of God, it's not their home. They just pitch their tent here. It's temporary, you see. They desire a better country that is in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked thyself for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. But then the Lord was to give him abundantly more, wasn't he? I have also given thee that which thou ask not, both riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Oh, you think of it. The Lord gave him far above what he ever asked. But how do we ask? Do we ask by faith? That's what Solomon was given, you know. Faith to believe God would grant it. And the Lord gave it to him. And look how in that latter part of the chapter numbers do we leave it. But how the Lord gave him that wisdom with those two women when the child died. Exactly how to deal with it. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Well, I've scratched around the word, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply his own precious word to us. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. May we be able to plead it. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen.